Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship with Doug Crowder as he comes to receive his new birth certificate. Doug, come on down. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work you've done in Doug's life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Well, as Pastor mentioned, we've had many guests, and one is we want to give just a couple minutes to greet everyone. This Brother Obaro is a pastor in Kingston, New York, and he is a son in the gospel of my father. Came in at 17 years old, was a student in Athens, Greece, and God changed his world. And he is now preaching the gospel along with many other pastors. We want Brother Obaro to come. We love you, Brother Obaro.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be here today. But if there's anything we should take home with us, is that the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is truly due, Brother Alan Demas, who is my father in the gospel, and Sister Valerie Demas, who is my mother in the gospel. I told somebody this morning as I was preparing to come that I don't remember how many dinners were cooked for me. I don't remember how many times I was hugged and kissed and loved. But I do remember this much, that love definitely conquers all. It's one thing to say you love somebody, but it's another thing to truly love that person. And because of the way I was loved by the Demases, I have learned to share that love in the city that the Lord has called me to. I was trained as an engineer. I'm a civil engineer by training. But somewhere along the line, just because I met Brother Alan Demas, I am preaching the gospel today. And I just want to thank Sister Valerie Demas. I call her mom Valerie. And Brother Demas, my father, who has been so kind and so gracious to love me when nobody else will love me. There are some people in our city, in this city today, that are 17 years old, might think they know everything like I did. Because you can be book smart. Yes, yes. Some of us are gifted to be very book smart. But we don't know anything about life. Through our arrogance, through our uncompromising political views of the world at the time, I was still loved enough for me to feel it. And enough to know it, to come to Christ. And for that, I will always be indebted to Brother and Sister Demas. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. In 1995, a young man moved to Madison, Wisconsin. Parents came home on deputation, and my brother moved here. 2 years later, as all babies of the family know, you always follow in your siblings' footsteps. And so I came here, and man, I was Joel's brother to everybody. No one knew my name. Oh, you're Joel's brother. Well, finally he left. But it still took years and years to get that out of folks' system all over this district. And thankfully today, and I would appreciate it if you greet him later. You call him Phil's brother. It's good to have you. We want my brother to come and greet you and introduce my father.
Wow. Sometimes when Phil or my dad leave a voicemail, I think I'm listening to myself. Our voices are similar. And man, I love my big brother. I want to thank my sister on the keys. Love my sister. I want to thank my brother, my little brother. I'm so proud of both of them. I want to thank Sister Renee and Brittany and the Calvary Gospel crew. Pastor Sister Thomas, James Novak. These people have a servant's heart. And yesterday they helped us pull off a big, big surprise. A big surprise. And we had a retirement party for Mom and Dad. And it was, if you heard Mom screech once, you heard her. I mean, she screeched over and over again as she looked around the room and saw friends and family. And many of you are still here today. And we want to thank Calvary Gospel Church, Pastor Roy, and all of you for being gracious hosts here. And the other big surprise is, Dad, you don't have to, you can just sit back and relax because I'm going to preach this morning. Just kidding. Just kidding. I was going to say it yesterday and forgot to say it. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping us honor Mom and Dad. And, you know, little did we know, as Dad and I began to discuss not only where I would go to college, but where I would settle here in America as a missionary kid with no roots here, really, and except for Mom's roots in Wisconsin and Dad's roots in Minnesota. But, you know, those family members were so far away, and we saw them so little and just didn't know them real well and as kids, and except for the few times that we shared. And little did we know, because Duke University was my first choice, I'll be honest with you. Duke basketball has always been something that I've admire Coach Krzyzewski. But little did we know, the choice, I didn't get accepted, by the way. I tried. Little did we know, the invitation from the university here would impact the Demas family so greatly. And the rivalry continued when Phil came on the scene. And I love this kid, and I am tickled pink that God has allowed him to stay in this church and try to return in some small measure what this church has meant to the Demas family. They say home is where the heart is, and Jennifer and I have left pieces of our heart in the different spots that God has led us. Greece, Germany, Minnesota, Calvary Gospel Church, and now for us, Tampa, Florida. I remember sitting right there in the fellowship hall and then in this new sanctuary. And by my side was my baby brother, Phil. And I remember sitting here and worshiping God and loving the Lord. And I remember so many of you that invested in us and touched our lives, little old missionary kids, and blessing us and taking us under your wings as Mom and Dad went back home to the field. I remember pacing that wall on a Saturday night prayer meeting, feeling the love of God and feeling the love of the people. And This church means a lot to us. You're familiar with it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And whatever you have need of this morning, you can receive today. The Mighty God comes from the Hebrew word Jehovah Gabor, which means hero, warrior, champion. I am humbled and honored this morning to introduce to you a hero of mine. He's not God. God is here, the hero's here, but I've got two heroes, Mom and Dad, here in this place. Dad, come on over. It's your turn.
Thank you, Joel. You may be seated. And here I thought all these years that we didn't have sibling rivalry in our family. Except when we're playing games. Praise God. And I just want to thank Joel for that introduction and Phil as well. And I do want to say, and I cannot say much because we want to hit the word, but I do want to say again thanks to Pastor Roy Grant, Bishop John Grant, and this church for your invitation to be here. And for facilitating something, Brother Knopp, that we never, ever imagined in our life. Our kids thought of it 2 years ago. I never thought of it. You know, as I told somebody yesterday, if I knew it was going to be this good, I would have retired sooner. Praise God. And it's a thrill to be on the platform with all three of our children and to be here with District Superintendent John Putnam and his ministry, and see so many other folks out there. I can't start calling names, Brother Russell, amen, or I'm going to get in trouble because of the folks that I'll not be able to. But it's a thrill today to have my three sisters here, Carolyn, Suzanne from Duluth, and my sister Ellen, now from Kansas City, formerly around the world in D.C., and my sister Eleanor. And I think except for funerals, we have not been together like this in a church service in many, many years. And so we're happy we could be here and with so many friends yesterday and today. Praise God. And when I received the invitation, I took it, Brother Grant, seriously. And years ago when I was young, I would pray, oh God, give me a message. Oh God, what should I preach on? And I'd start, you know, looking at the Bible, Brother Lewis, from, you know, Genesis to Revelation to try and find something to preach. And somewhere along the line, the Lord began to go on fast speed. And boom, he would tell me what to preach on weeks ahead of time. Didn't maybe happen in Athens so much, but I remember one summer where the Lord said, Brother Barrow, you preach on such and such a Sunday 6 weeks hence on this subject of baptism in the name. On the Saturday before that Sunday, I'm downtown Athens near the meat market, Agora, and I met four people from Canada. And on that Sunday, they were in church to hear the Word of God. So God knew you were going to be here today, and I didn't. And when Pastor Roy Grant invited me, the Lord gave me two titles. One for this morning, specifically for this morning, and one for tonight. and one I've preached before years ago and had to look it at, dig out my notes out of one of our 168 boxes that came in from Germany, amen, and rework it, restudy it, repray it, reconsecrate it, rededicate it to deliver to you today. And the other one, I'd never heard before. I knew there was a verse that would support that title, but I really didn't know what I was going to find, praise God. And so we're just happy to share with you today the Word of God. And I want to begin with a verse of Scripture, and we'll just use one rather than two due to time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 47. Matthew 13 in the New Testament. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man has found, he hides it for joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price. The purpose of parables, and Matthew 13 is full of them, is to teach us, it's to instruct us. It's to reach us. It's to take us from the known to the unknown. He dealt with people who were familiar with the farm in the agrarian areas around Nazareth and Capernaum. And so he used many parables. Amen. He used parables here where they would be familiar with, even the one of the pearl, because Nazareth was right on the edge of trade routes that came across from Syria, going over to the Mediterranean. And so these people in Nazareth were not wealthy tradespeople and merchants, but they had a familiarity with that business and probably the camel caravans that went by. And some of them, maybe in Nazareth, they shifted gears and came down to Jerusalem, and maybe there were some wholesalers, so-called, there in Nazareth. I do not know. No, a parable takes us from the natural to the spiritual. They didn't understand many spiritual principles per se, even though they were religious. And so Jesus took them from what they knew about nature, about the sun, about the fields. And then he brings them to the spiritual, which they did not fully understand. Amen. In Matthew 13, verse 34, all these things spake Jesus to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, some religions will tell you that it's a mystery. In fact, there's a famous doctrine, and tradition will tell you it's a mystery. We believe it, but we can't understand it. But that's not the meaning of the word mysterion. The mystery is a hidden truth, as it's written here, from the foundation of the world, and that hidden truth has now been revealed. God has brought from darkness into his marvelous light so that we can understand. And salvation and the knowledge of God is so great that we cannot understand it with our intellect. But God has brought himself down to our level so we could know who he is and see who he is. There are things about salvation and his word that we cannot understand with our intellect, but God has brought it down just to common humanity. Praise God. There's many kinds of pearls. And without going into a lot of details, there are natural pearls and there are cultured pearls. The ideal pearl is perfectly round and smooth. It's composed of calcium carbonate in minute crystalline form, which has been deposited in concentric circles. The most valuable pearls come from the wild, but they're extremely rare. There's the natural pearls. And then we have, and they don't want to tell you that, we have the artificial junk, which they call cultured pearls or farmed pearls. And there's imitation pearls, which are even more inexpensive. And the reason why they have to have the cultured stuff and the imitation stuff and the South Sea stuff and the Tahitian stuff is because the real wild natural pearl is so rare and so expensive. And the ironic thing is that something of great value would start with an irritation. It would start with an aggravation. It would start with... And we've all been there, especially if you're in ministry. It starts with a piece of sand. It starts with a piece of junk that somehow gets through the shell of that mollusk. And that little creature created by God says, I don't like that sand. I don't want it to bother me anymore. I don't want it to hurt me anymore. And I don't want to be irritated anymore. So next time you have a friend or a non-friend who is an irritation, then you use the pearl technique and you just begin to develop a little lining around that irritation, that piece of sand, that aggravation, and the mollusk keeps round and round and round, and it's protecting itself. It's kind of isolating the piece of sand, but in that defense technique, that mollusk develops a pearl that with age and time, that pearl will grow and grow. And when the pearl diver finds that mollusk shell, inside there might be 6, 7, 8, or 10 pearls there of different sizes. Now, you can go on eBay and you can bid 99 cents for a cultured pearl. But that's not what we're talking about. You could go on eBay and you would find, amen, today or at least yesterday, that there's a genuine AAA cultured freshwater 7 to 8 millimeter round 18 inch white pearl necklace for only $31.27. Or you can go to Neiman Marcus and you don't bid, you just buy, and they have mother of pearl disc earrings for $1,100. Or you can go the cheap route and get an Aloya cultured pearl for $1. Or a South Sea quintuple A, 18 inch, 10 to 11 millimeter, perfect round, white purple necklace with 14 karat gold from Hong Kong for $258. And then there's the South Sea Pearl Bracelet, 9 to 11 millimeters, cream colored. Everybody has white. For only $15,000, but we got a deal just this week for $800 for the first buyer and the first bidder. But then there is the AAA Double Plus Natural Amen Round Black Tahitian for $520, and then there is the one singular loose natural pearl on a string for $8,000. Now, folks, you've heard before, God don't make no junk. So why do you want to be a second class, third class, quintuple class Christian? If I were a baseball player, I left Little League a long time ago, I wouldn't want to be in quintuple A or quadruple A. I'd want to start at least triple A. And then maybe double A and make some progress. And who knows, our goal is to get in the majors. My wife's brother was here yesterday from Marshfield. Her other brother came in from Seattle. Shock, praise God. Amen. And Giles from Marshfield, his son-in-law, started playing for Marshfield Catholic High School, went to East Illinois University, and ended up playing not just for the Little League Pee-wee football team, but he ended up playing for the New York Giants. That's the goal of every young man, amen, who is a sports athletic. Well, you can pay 99 cents for a pearl, or you can say, I'll save for the pearl of great price. And that's what this man in the parable did. But actually, the most expensive pearl is probably the one that Pierre Cartier had. He had two strands of pearls, and 100 years ago, those strands, which were so matched and so identical and so valuable, they cost $1 million. And he exchanged it for a mansion in Manhattan, New York, which is still today the headquarters and the foundation stone of the Cartier jewelry business. I'm talking about a pearl of great price. You see, there are some things you will find as we read about the kingdom of heaven, which is compared to a treasure in the field. And we heard today some songs that talked about the kingdom. They talked about heaven. Amen. And that is our goal. Praise God. Our concern is not just the church, but the kingdom of God. And this man in verse 44, amen, he finds a treasure in the field. It doesn't say he was looking for it. He was maybe just taking a shortcut between two roads. And he's going through the field and he saw a glimmer. He maybe saw the corner of a box, or in those days, the corner of a Grecian pottery jug. And he took a closer look and he looked down and he looked around to make sure nobody's looking, because he didn't know what he's going to find. And he found a treasure. He thought, my, my. Now, he couldn't steal it, so he hid it to make sure that nobody else would accidentally find this treasure. And then he went and he sells all that he had, because the treasure in that field was worth all that he had and more. You see, God just doesn't make an even deal with you. No, no. God always gives you more than you plan for. I accepted the call to be a missionary to Greece in 1966 in the Griggs Midway building in University Avenue of St. Paul, Minnesota, close to where the original Midway Tabernacle was located. And here we are, 49 years later. And Brother Lewis, you weren't part of what I answered the call about. Brother Ocala wasn't. Sister Margaret wasn't. Bonji wasn't. I remember, in fact, when we went to the Aegean Sea to baptize three people in Jesus' name, Brother Ocala, Sister Ocala, God Power, all three from Nigeria, and Sister Margaret came along, who was just used to traditional baby baptisms, and she wanted to see what this was all about. I'm planning to baptize three. And Sister Margaret says, about the time we were done, amen, I want to join that as well. And she just came walking into the water, praise God, and we baptized her there, amen. And she came out in about 7 minutes. Her dress was dry because the Greek sun was so hot and had done its job, praise God. You see, I look at our life. Amen. I made a bargain with Valerie Teamy from Marshfield. Amen. Soon to be 45 years ago. But friend, I got more. Not just Joel and Philip and Laura. Amen. But I got Jenny and Fiona and Kevin and Toby and Joy and Jaden and Christian and Gabriel. And guess what? I got Calvary Gospel Church because you adopted our kids. You adopted us as partners. We've adopted you. We got more than we ever bargained for. And God will do the same for you. but you might have to give up all that you have, which really isn't worth that much, because God's going to give you a treasure. He's going to give you more than you ever bargained for. The other man was looking for a pearl. He was a merchant man. He found something he could not believe. He had never seen it before. He had never heard about it before, maybe in his imagination, but he found a pearl of great price, and he too sold all to gain the pearl. What's our pearl today? I'm not asking you to go to the jewelry shop and check things out down there. What's our pearl today? Amen. Job compares it to wisdom. Job 28, verse 16 to 20. And we're going to go through some of these very quickly. Amen. Job 28. Amen. It cannot be gotten for gold nor silver, verse 15. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. Verse 17, the gold and crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention of it shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. When you get God's wisdom, it's worth more than all the gems of this world. What is this pearl of great price that we're talking about? Amen. It's so valuable that you can't give it to the pigs. Matthew says, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and rend in you. What are we talking about? We are talking about who Jesus is. As we heard today from Isaiah 9:6, amen, he's more than just a man. He's more than just a baby who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He's more than just, amen, a heavenly father. He's the almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. Looking for Prince Peace? I'll tell you, come to Jesus. You'll find more in Jesus than you bargained for. You'll find everything you need because it's all in him. What's the pearl of great price? The knowledge of who Jesus is. Paul, at the end of almost 20 years of ministry, says, I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What's the pearl of great price? It's the apostles' doctrine. The 12 apostles knew who Jesus was. They received teaching from him. They received an experience from him. This week, they said, the thrill is gone. I'm here to tell you, thrills and emotion will come and go. But a New Testament Holy Ghost apostolic Bible-based experience to receive his spirit, that will come and stay. Amen. And the world cannot take it away. That's the pearl of great price, to have an intimate relationship with God and not just visit his house once in a while, but to have him come in your temple and you become a temple of the mighty God of the universe by his spirit. Praise God. What's the pearl of great price? To know that your sins have been forgiven. Do you know how many people go to psychologists, problem, and maybe half of those problems go back to sin issues? If not theirs, someone else's. We're not blaming all the people. Let's be honest. It could be coming from somebody else. And you know, the Lord says, come to me. I'll forgive you. I will wash it away. I will cover it. And you can forget it. Psychology says, well, let's dig it up. Let's find out what all your problems are. Hey, don't dig it up. Bring it to the altar of Jesus Christ. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Be washed in baptism. Let his Holy Spirit give you the love and the joy and the peace. Amen. To take care of those past. And you have found the pearl of great price. You see, the pearls are so valuable and so precious that they may be crushed. Gold may be stolen. Silver prices may go down. Stocks will go up and they will go down. Houses can be destroyed in flood and tornado. But when you found the kingdom of heaven and your pearl of great price, you don't worry about this world. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me the pearl of great price. And the best thing is, you don't have to sell your bank account. You don't have to bring your degree that you got yesterday from the University of Wisconsin. You don't have to say, well, my great-grandfather was a card-carrying member of this church, because, folks, there's plenty of room in the family, and there's room for one more. If I were to line this altar with pearls from Hobby Lobby, you could come and pick it up as a symbol of this sermon. If I were to line this altar with real pearls, not just cultured ones, but real, natural, valuable pearls, and I said, everybody come and take one, there would be a throng here. If I would say, come and take as much as you want because we've got so much, there'd be throng here. I'm here today to tell you, if you'll just find that one pearl of great price, God's going to trade it for you. Because when we get to the kingdom of heaven, in the new Jerusalem, we're not only going to have streets of gold, but there's 12 gates, plenty of room to get in. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ways to get in this assembly. Heaven's got 12 gates to get in. Same message. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, but there's plenty of room to get in. And when you come in those gates, each gate is made of one solid pearl. Don't ask me how God did it. He's been working on it for a couple thousand years because he's inviting you to come today and find the pearl of great price. So if you want to make some trades today, come to this altar. If you want to find Jesus today, come to this altar. If you want more than you had before, come to this altar. Let's stand and reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him and receive his wonderful gifts. Hallelujah. The truth that he has for us, the love that he has waiting for us, the peace and joy that he has for us. Let's come today and reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and truth and holiness and righteousness and worship him in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody today, amen, you need to make a change. Somebody today could be a crossroads. Somebody today, you could get more than you ever bargained for if you just take that first step. Amen, just give him your life. Give him your past. He'll give you a wonderful future in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Won't you come down to this morning? If you need a healing in your body, you're struggling physically, a healing of your emotions, any type of healing, why don't you come down on this side specifically? We'll have ministers pray with you. Hallelujah. If you're dealing with a concurrent issue, Lord.